Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord that we get to be here together, that we get to worship the Lord, and that we get to open up His Word. Amen. And just what a beautiful song, right? Truly this morning, and this week above all weeks, Jesus, thank you. Is there a greater reason to give thanks than to thank our Lord? As we've already seen this morning, right, through Embrace and through the Angel Tree and that partnership with Trinity, we have so many things to give God thanks for and to praise Him for. In fact, just last night, the Perch, we gathered for our annual Friendsgiving meal. Thank you to Dylan and Samantha for hosting that. And I was just telling the Perch this morning, and I've said in the past, it's truly one of my favorite things that we do as the Perch. And here's why. See, in addition to having tremendous gratitude for what the Lord is doing, like last night when we were gathering around, we looked around that table, and then this morning in Sunday school, I look around the Perch. I see so many people, and I look around this morning in here, and I see so many people that I am so thankful for. I think of EC Grace as a whole. I think of Pastor Aaron, and I'm so thankful for these relationships, for the people that God, brothers and sisters, that He puts in your life. Knowing that this is who the Lord has given, and this is who the Lord, especially when it comes to the Perch, has tasked with of being the next generation of the church here at EC Grace. That, and then when you combine that with the fellowship that we can have with one another, it's just enough to make your heart overflow with gratitude. And this morning, seeing all of you and serving alongside of all of you in ministry, gratitude, right? That's the word I think of. And when I think of this week, above all weeks, I think of gratitude. I'm also thankful that you, the body here at EC Grace, allows us as pastors to have times throughout the year where we can go away on vacation and get some rest and relaxation. And this week I will be on vacation, and I want to thank all of you for that, for allowing that opportunity. Next week, Pastor Aaron will be up here, back up, continuing on in this series in Galatians. And he will be looking at the next fruit of the Spirit. Now, last week, he looked at love. Well, this morning, as we talk about our Thanksgiving message, we're going to be talking about being thankful and having gratitude. All right, that's our Thanksgiving message. But next week, on the heels of that, as he continues on with the next fruit, Pastor Aaron will be preaching on the next fruit, which is joy. All right? Now, we don't plan this out. The Spirit just leads, and whatever date a certain message falls on, that's the date. So, as we talk about giving thanks and having gratitude this morning, Pastor Aaron's going to come up next week and talk about joy, right? And those things are, that's interchangeable, right? They go together, right? If you think of anybody in the world, who should have the most gratitude and who should be walking around with the most joy? Christians. So that will be next week, right? Christians should have joy. Christians should also have gratitude and should be thankful. But what does that word gratitude mean exactly? Gratitude comes from the Latin word gratis, meaning pleasing or thankful. And we just so happen to be in the time of the year where many people ponder on what? Giving thanks and having gratitude. See, that's the question we're after. We're after, what does it mean to be thankful, to be grateful? Do we have to wonder about that, or does God's Word give us answers? Because we can all give an answer of something that we are grateful for, or at least I hope we can. I hope we can sit here this morning and say, you know what? I give thanks for this. I am grateful for this. I am thankful, I hope, for the Lord. I am thankful that I am His. And maybe as Christian, our answer does look different from the rest of the world. So this morning, as we come up on Thanksgiving 2022, we are going to get to the heart of gratefulness and get to the heart of being thankful. See, we obviously look to Jesus, but more than that, we look to who we are in Him. And when we understand who we are in Christ and what Christ has done and is doing in our lives, our hearts should not just possess gratefulness, but we should be overflowing with gratitude. That's what Paul says. Truly, we aren't just looking at another reason to be thankful this season. We can give a big list of what we're thankful for, but this morning, When it comes to Jesus Christ, the Lord, we are looking at and we are thinking upon the reason to be thankful. And not just at Thanksgiving, even though that's where we are, but all day, every day, we have the reason to be thankful through Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's go to him in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you for just that we're here together, Lord, but Lord, we praise you more than that, Lord, for the love that you have for us in Jesus, Lord, for our salvation. And Lord, for what you're doing, your grace in our lives, Lord, how you provide for us, Lord, how you give us the fullness of joy forever in your presence. Lord, so many things, Lord, that apart from you, Lord, we would have no life, we would have no future. Lord, we would be condemned, we would stand condemned because of our sin, Lord, but if not for the love that you have. Lord, so truly, when we think about Thanksgiving, Lord, and we think about being grateful and all the reasons that we have to be thankful, Lord, let us not go too far away from the center of that, Lord, that we have the reason to be thankful, and that is in you, Lord. So we pray this morning, Lord, that we see that through the truth of your word, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. If you would, open up with me to Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Now, I don't know about you, but these verses compose what may be one of my very favorite passages in all of Scripture. Although that's kind of tough to say, right? Because like it's all God's word and there's so many beautiful things in there. So you ever, when somebody asks you, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? I got to pick just one? Although, if you go into the Perch, I don't know if you've been into the Perch in the last several months, but there's a big wall mural when you walk into the Perch, right? It has our big Perch logo and has different verses that are on the wall. And those verses are picked out by people within the Perch of what is their favorite verse or favorite passage in Scripture. And Colossians 2, 6, and 7 are the ones that I personally picked out as my favorite in all of Scripture. And why is that? Well, let's read them and see. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See, there's so much in just these two verses that we will unpack this morning, but it is the end of verse 7 that ties this right to Thanksgiving. What does Paul say at the end of verse 7? And overflowing with gratitude. But I'd argue that while this should be true of all of us, right, we should all be overflowing with gratitude, especially this week and as we come up on Thanksgiving. Don't you want that to be true of you all the time? Like, Jackson is overflowing with gratitude all the time. When I think of Jackson, man, this dude's overflowing with gratitude. When I think of Judy, she's overflowing with gratitude, right? Don't you want that to be said? Like, because of who Christ is and what Christ has done for you and how we're in him, we should be overflowing with gratitude. We shouldn't be complainers. We shouldn't be people who are always wallowing. We should have gratitude. But having gratitude overflowing with it only comes to those, I'd argue, that are walking with Jesus. So the question we must ask ourselves as Christians is this: why should we be thankful? Why should we be thankful? I believe there are three reasons that we can pull out here in Colossians 2, 6 or 7 as to why we, above all else, have a reason to be thankful. And I think that these reasons will point to the reason to be thankful, particularly during this Thanksgiving season. So the first reason in the grand scheme of things that we had to be thankful is this: we're thankful for Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen? Thankful for Christ Jesus for the Lord. Who here is thankful for Jesus Christ? Amen. Absolutely. I mean, what are we here for if we're not thankful for Christ? This is foundational. Truly, we could just end right now because we should all be thankful for Christ and we should all be thankful for our salvation, that we are in him. In fact, just last week in the message on the fruit of the Spirit and love, Pastor Aaron pointed us to how our motivation For what we do should be out of a constant awareness of the love that God has for us in Jesus. Right? That's the core of everything we do, right? That was in the context of love, but if this isn't your motivation and if you don't have a constant awareness of God's love, what's the rest of your life going to look like? How many people here celebrate in some capacity Thanksgiving? I mean, even in our nation, it's a nationally recognized holiday, so at the very least, right, it's nationally recognized. Does anybody know here how Thanksgiving started or how it came to be? We're gonna go history with Pastor Jacob this morning, okay? Way back when, several centuries ago, colonists in New England would regularly gather together for days of Thanksgiving, like just quote-unquote days where they would gather together and give thanks. And these times would be marked by times of prayer, right? Prayer for blessing for their safe travels as they had to travel everywhere. Time of prayer for blessing for abundant harvest because they were farmers, they needed crops. And also for military victories and any wars that may be going on. And most believe that the way that we presently celebrate Thanksgiving can be traced back to a 1691 harvest feast that was shared by English colonists in the, I want to pronounce this right, the Wampanoag tribe. The Wampanoag tribe, okay? Say that five times fast. But this tribe and English colonists, they would gather together, right? They would have a harvest meal, and they would give thanks, they would celebrate, and celebrate what they had in common, but just give an overall thanks. And now we gather together and we have meals together as we celebrate Thanksgiving. Eventually, this would become a national holiday, but if you think about how it started, right, they would start with prayers of blessing, and they would give thanks to the God, and they would have times of prayer. While this would become a national holiday, the very roots of Thanksgiving trace back by giving thanks to who? God. Just as our very life, our very salvation is thanks to who? God, Jesus. What I find interesting, however, is how frequent they would gather together to give thanks and the impact that that had. So while we have one national holiday for Thanksgiving, the roots of this started because they would gather together often and give thanks. It was a pattern of life. Because being thankful, giving thanks, having gratitude isn't just reserved for one time of year, is it? I mean, yes, we gather together once a year. It's a national holiday. You know, many people don't go to work. Many places are closed. But the principle behind that is giving thanks. And giving thanks is not something you just want to do one time a year. No, it should be a constant pattern, especially for those in Christ. 365 days. Get that wall calendar out. It's every day. Don't just circle that one day on the calendar, but every single day. Because look at what Paul says in Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, I don't know about you, but reading that verse makes me want to praise God. It makes me want to give thanks, and I have tremendous gratitude because of Christ Jesus and because how we have received him. Amen? Think about the implications of this verse for a second. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. See, Paul uses language like this elsewhere in the New Testament. We see this next verse often when we have communion, where we remember the Lord's ministry on our behalf, mind you. But look at this, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. So Paul talks about how he received something from the Lord, right? The word for received is the same word used in Colossians 2:6. Elsewhere, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Again, same verb for received. So both in 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians, the recipient is receiving something directly from God, whether it's the word of God, the message, or whatever the case may be, it's directly from God. So when you go back to Colossians 2:6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Praise the Lord that not only have we received Christ, but this is directly from God's hand, right? Our salvation, our life, Jesus Christ, what a gift from the Lord, and what a picture of his grace and his love that he has for us. Amen? Paul is directing the Colossians straight to when they heard and straight to when they received the gospel and believed in order to set up what he is about to tell them. But think for a second. Just think of the doctrinal statement and the richness of the statement, Christ Jesus the Lord. See, this doesn't leave open any interpretation for anything other than who Jesus is. He is Savior and he is Lord. This statement alone counteracts three false conceptions that people had of Jesus during Paul's time, and I would argue three false perceptions of Jesus that people still have today. And after you read this, you tell me if you aren't thankful for Jesus Christ. First, it asserts the deity of Christ, which Judaism denies. Second, it asserts the humanity of Jesus, right? His name, Jesus, which Docetists during Paul's time denied, right? They were a group of philosophers that weren't human. Third, it asserts his sovereignty as Lord, which we know many false teachings deny, both then and now, right? Jesus, he's not Lord, right? This is as comprehensive a statement of who Jesus is that you will find, right? Christ Jesus the Lord. That is everything that Jesus is, right? In that one statement, he is your Lord, he's your Savior. Is having received Christ a reason to be thankful? Amen. Look at Ephesians 2, right? Let's just take this further down the line as if that wasn't enough. First, look at Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Whoa. The world doesn't want to hear that. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Right away. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's not good news. Apart from Christ, that's bad news. But praise the Lord, it does not end there. Ephesians 2 goes on to say, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Again, I ask, who is thankful for Jesus Christ? Amen. Absolutely. We were dead in our sin, but now through Christ, we are alive. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen. This is where your thanks should be. So one reason this morning we have to be thankful is thankful for Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. And if this is all that we had to hang on to, we would have what we need. We would have enough. But the beauty is God gives us more. The second reason we have to be thankful is this: thankful for who we are in Christ. Amen. Amen. Thankful for who we are in Christ. We have received him. We love him first, hopefully. And we are in him. So now what? Let me ask you this. You just answered. You're thankful that you know Christ. You're thankful for Jesus Christ. But are you also thankful that you get to walk in him and that you get to grow in him? Is that a source of thankfulness for you? See, we like Jesus the Savior, but have we truly made him Lord of our lives? Are we truly thankful that day by day we get to serve him, we get to love him, we get to walk in him? Are you grateful for that? Better yet, does your life look like that? If you answered yes, does your life match up with your word? Because we can acknowledge, you know what, I am grateful for that. Of course I'm grateful for that. That's the answer I know I should have. When others look at you, does your life match up with your word? Does it match up with God's word? See, after talking about how the Colossians have received Christ, Paul immediately pivots to this. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed. Walk in him. That should be the response to every person who professes to know Christ, right? I want to walk in him. I desire this. This is my desire. Remember last week, again, in addition to talking about how our motivation to love should be first rooted in a love for the Lord and an awareness of his love, Pastor Aaron also walked us through the obligation, which is to have a growing desire to obey the Lord. Right? We're motivated by a constant awareness of God's love, but our obligation is to have a growing desire. The Christian life isn't the sofa life. And what I mean by that is it's not something that we're just going to, I'm just going to sit on my couch, I'm growing in Christ, I'm good, I'm in the game. You know, it's like I'm watching my sports team here, right? Look, a fan of a sports team can sit around, and some of us are like this, you know, I'll point to myself first, right? Because I'm a huge sports guy. And we can sit and root for our team from the comfort of our living room all day long. We have no problem getting passionate and energetic about it, right? That's just being a fan. There's, some would argue, little investment. You're not in the game. You're not the one playing. You're just a fan. That's not true of those who follow Jesus. This isn't the sofa life. It's not sitting on the couch. After Paul says, walk in him, look at how the first part of verse 7 reads. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith. Right? There is action there. Right? There is something happening. It's not a, well, I'm in Christ, I've received Christ, now what? I'm going to sit here and you tell me what's next, you know? Now, we know that being in Christ is the foundation for all of this, right? You come to know Christ, and there's your profession, but then it goes to having been firmly rooted, and then being built up and established in your faith. All of this is made possible by who we are in Christ. But the beauty continues when you look at each of these statements individually. You could do a whole message on each of these individual statements because they're so deep and so beautiful. Having been firmly rooted, this is the picture of the new life in Christ, and it is in what is known as the perfect tense in Greek, which means that as soon as you profess and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, trusting in him alone for your salvation, you are now firmly rooted, right? You are firmly planted. You are not like the plant that withers away, that has no root. You are firm. You are rooted in something that is entirely different than the world. Think about the parable of the sower for a second in Matthew 13. In this parable, right, seed fell in four spots. In one spot, the birds quickly ate the seed up. In another, one was rocky places that had no good soil. Therefore, the sun scorched the seeds. And then you have another where thorns choked out what was growing. But then in one example, you have some seed that fell on good soil that sprung up and yielded a crop. This is the one who hears and believes the word of God, right? The good soil, the one who is truly saved, the one who has truly accepted the gospel. It is no coincidence that the one who truly believes, that's the one who has the good soil in Matthew 13. That's the one that in Christ is firmly rooted in Colossians 2:7. In fact, the verb used here for rooted is also used elsewhere in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:17 through 19. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So you see how amazing it is to be firmly rooted in him. Being rooted and being grounded in Christ and his love is the best place to be. Where else would you rather be planted? This is who we are in Christ. But we are also now being built up in him. He is our foundation, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. I've never built a building. I've never built a house. I've really never even built a sandcastle. But I'm pretty certain that if you're going to build a house, or you're going to build a building, or if you're going to build anything, that foundation is going to be pretty important, especially as you continue to build. If your foundation is bad, it's going to end poorly at some point, whether at the beginning or down the road. So praise the Lord that when it comes to our life and when it comes to who we are, that our foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, I'm pretty sure that this is a foundation that's not going to be shaken. It's not going to crumble. It's not going to fall. That as you're being built up in him, the foundation that you're being built up on is secure. It's like the old hymn which says, "How firm a foundation, ye saint of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say to you than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled." See, when you're not singing it, it's kind of harder to read it off. How firm a foundation in Christ. Amen. Are you thankful for that? So we are firmly rooted, we are built up, and we are also established in our faith. Your faith in Christ gives you a guarantee. It gives you an establishment, right? Language that is similar to legal documentation. It's similar to what we see in Romans 10, verses 9 through 10, right? Once you do this, right, it's like the guarantee that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't you love when God's word speaks with just, it's authoritative. It has all the authority. Just, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Is the bank open today? I don't know, but take this to the bank, because this is secure, this is true. This is like the establishment. Do this, and you will be saved. You do not have to wonder. You do not have to have concern. Do what God's word says. Do what the Lord says, and you will be saved. It is a guarantee. Romans 10 goes on to say, "For the scripture says," don't you just love this, "whoever believes in him will not be disappointed." Sounds like a pretty sure thing. What do you think? I think it's pretty sure, too. We're good. We're on the same page. I like it. See, we should constantly be thankful for who we are in Christ, that we are firmly rooted, that we are being built up, and that we are established. No one who knows Christ is ever disappointed or lives in regret because of their salvation. I mean, we hear testimonies of, I wish I had come to know Christ sooner. Praise the Lord, I do know Christ now. You ever heard anybody say, I wish I didn't come to know Christ. No, because those who are truly in him don't live with that regret, do not live with that disappointment, as the scripture says. Knowing this, we have a reason to be thankful, right? First, thankful for who we are in Christ. So why should we be thankful? Well, we should be thankful for Christ, who we are in Christ. And then lastly, thankful for God's word. Thankful for God's word. Well, what about it? Are you thankful for his word? Because the sad reality is, the church as a whole may not be as thankful for his word as you would think. In a recently published The State of Theology survey, respondents were given the following statement and were asked to say if they agreed or disagreed with the statement. And the statement was, "The Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true." Think about that. The Bible, like all sacred writings, so we're not even distinguishing the Bible here, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true. So this survey comes out every 2 years. So 8 years ago in 2014, 41% of people surveyed agreed with this statement. So 41% of people said the Bible is not literally true. That's not a good number. That was 8 years ago. In 2022, that number jumped up to 53%. So over half the people said that yes, the Bible, like all sacred writings, while it may contain helpful accounts of ancient myths, it is not literally true. So pretty much one of every two people that you encounter on a daily basis would fall into this category. See, this shows, in fact, out of this 53%, 25%, so one of every four people you encounter strongly agree with the statement. You know, I don't just agree with it, but there's no way it's true. This shows not only an overall rejection of the Word of God in our nation as being the Word of God, but according to the site doing this survey, this is the most consistent upward trend they have seen over the last 5 publishings of the survey, meaning all the doctrine questions they ask, this is the one where they've seen the greatest raise of people who have rejected this. 12% in the last 8 years. That's a pretty sharp curve. Meaning, as time goes on, people aren't thankful for the Word of God. They don't even believe the Bible is God's Word. And you're like, well, that's the world, right? Where does the church fit into that? Well, if you break it down even more, based on their polling, every 1 out of 4 people sitting in churches every Sunday is likely to hold such a view. See, our culture and Christendom as a whole is plagued by a lack of love and a lack of gratefulness for God's word. Even Paul tells the Colossians in chapter 2, verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, right? There's the truth, there's the doctrine, just as you were instructed, right? Just as you were instructed. Now, we know he is pointing them back to the time and to the truth they had previously heard and had previously been taught, right? Instruction. And from this, we can infer that their previous teaching had been solid, right? He's pointing it back to the solid teaching that they had received. And Paul is reminding them of such. But where does our instruction come from? It comes from the Lord, and it comes from his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we know these verses that we beautiful verses talking about the Word of God, but all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Is this solid instruction? Is the Word of God solid? Amen. God's Word is the truth. God's word provides instruction, and it is overall, I won't even use the word beneficial because it goes well beyond that for the believer. It is why Paul calls the instruction the Colossians received to the forefront, right? Don't get caught in these worldly philosophies. Don't get held captive by the teachings you see in the world, by everything going on around you. Remember and bring to mind the instruction that you have previously received. You are firmly rooted in him. You are being built up in him. You are established in your faith, just as you're instructed. Get this worldly stuff out of here. This is truth. You can trust it. See, everything we have seen about why we are to be thankful and the reasons to be thankful comes from the truth that God has revealed in his word. In these verses in Colossians where Paul says we are being built up in him, how do we grow? How does a believer grow? How does a Christian, a professing believer, how does it happen? When someone comes to Christ, are they supposed to be like left out on their own? Like, okay, well, nice profession. See you later. Is that how that works, or is there discipleship involved? There's discipleship involved. That's by no means how it works, right? We're told in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Like newborn babies, but you see the connection here, right? Long for the pure milk of the word. Grow in respect to salvation, right? Word of God, grow if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, right? There's your believer. All of this together paints an amazing picture for the believer. It paints an amazing picture of why we are to be thankful. You have received Christ. You are firmly rooted in him. You are being built up in him. You are established in your faith. Paul says, just as you were instructed to the Colossians, right? All of this together, that's solid teaching. We know solid teaching is based only on the truth of God's word. If it's not from God's word, it's not solid teaching in the sense of it better align with what God says. Do we have any reason whatsoever to be thankful? Yeah. Amen. I'd say so. Many reasons, actually. But it all comes because of the Lord. Weekly in Grace Intercessors, for those of you who are part of that ministry, and if you're not part of that ministry, I would strongly encourage you to either join us on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock or Sunday mornings at 9 as we gather together in prayer. We share praises and we share things that we want to praise God for. And for those of you in here, you can attest, I would guess that the two most popular praises are, I thank God for my salvation, or I praise God for his word. Those are huge praises that we can all praise God for every single morning, because it never ceases to become less true. If we're going to be praising God for eternity, let's get a head start on that right now. Let's praise him right now. Amen. So when we think about being grateful, right, and we think about giving thanks this Thanksgiving, right, we could list many things. Before we end today, I'm going to need everyone to have about 1,500 things on their thankful list before we walk out the door. Dan's got me in the back, you know. But seriously, when we think about our list and what we're grateful for, what we want to give thanks for, should we start anywhere else other than Jesus Christ, the Lord, and his word? If our first love is truly the Lord, won't our lives be lived out of complete thanks, out of complete gratitude, out of complete devotion to him? Wouldn't that be true? Wouldn't that be reasonable to think that would be true? Amen. Amen. Wouldn't we love the word so much as the church that one out of every four people in the church pews would no longer say they don't believe God's word is inspired, but that it is actually so precious they can't do without? Amen. Let's be thankful for God's word. This Thanksgiving, we can be thankful for Christ Jesus the Lord, who we are in Christ, and thankful for his word. Are you thankful for these things? When someone asks you what you are grateful for this week, are these going to pop into your mind? Like, are you going to internalize, like, yes, this is what I'm grateful for, and I want to give thanks because of these things? When you walked in here this morning, would these things have been what popped into your head first and foremost? Jesus Christ, who I am in him, his word. Because they are right from, this is right from God's word. Jesus, his work in our lives, and his word. Better yet, do others even see you as a thankful person full of gratitude because of your Lord and Savior? How does Paul end Colossians 2, 6 and 7? Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. What's that little phrase again at the end? Overflowing. So just part of the time should I have gratitude? Or that should that be a mark of my life? When we think about all of this together, gratitude should not just be a minor characteristic of how others see us. But because of Christ and being his, we should be overflowing with it. This word overflowing carries with it the idea of being more than enough. I mean, it's simple, but, you know, I don't even think Merriam-Webster could do better than that. Look how Paul alone uses this word elsewhere in his epistles to get this idea of what overflowing means and looks like and how beautiful that actually is. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope, same word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abound in hope. That's pretty good. That's good. I like that. That's interesting. Elsewhere, 2 Corinthians, verse 1:5 and verse 4:15. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. So comfort, okay. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of the Lord. So comfort, thanks, hope. And then Philippians 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. So this picture of overflow carries with it this idea of abundance and abounding. And it's always in reference to what we have in and through and because of Christ. When people see you and when they see your relationship with Christ, do they see somebody that is abounding and overflowing with thankfulness and gratitude? Because, like I said, shouldn't this be a mark of who we are? Do people who know you even know that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I mean, if we aren't thankful for what Christ has done, who he is, and for his word, are we even loving him the way that we should be loving him? This passage in Colossians is in the middle of a section where Paul tries to point the Colossians to sound teaching and away from all this worldly, quote-unquote, wisdom, from this false teaching, and all sorts of doubt and other nonsense that we even see in our world today. Maybe this Thanksgiving, with everything we see in our world today, maybe it is as simple as being thankful for Jesus Christ and being thankful for God. Being thankful for Christ Jesus the Lord, for how our lives are being transformed because of him, and being thankful for his word. If it sounds simplistic, maybe that's what we need to get back to. This week, ask yourself this, because we'll all celebrate, we'll gather together with friends, we'll gather together with family, or whatever the case may be, however you celebrate. Ask yourself this: do I live every day with an overwhelming, overflowing sense of gratitude for what Christ has done? Do I love my Lord enough to be overflowing with thankfulness? Is that actually true in my life? Or do I grumble like the world grumbles? Because think about this, right? When Paul talks about Jesus Christ the Lord, and he talks about how we're firmly rooted, how we're being built up in him, how we're established, and then he goes on to say, and overflowing with gratitude, like all of that put together should lead the believer to be overflowing with this gratitude. I pray that we can all answer definitively, yes, I have gratitude, I am thankful for the Lord. Does this matter? Well, to answer that, I'm going to answer that with a question. Could you imagine what a church of Christ followers who love him so much that they are so thankful, living with gratitude, can you imagine what that would look like in the world today? Especially in a backdrop of a world that likes to grumble and complain. It would be beautiful. It would bring so much glory to our Lord. This year, do we truly have the reason to be thankful? We do. Amen? Amen. As the praise team comes up, let's just close with a time of prayer and thank the Lord for what he's done and for Jesus Christ and how we do have the reason to be thankful. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you for, Lord, who you are, and we praise you for Jesus Christ, Lord, who through the love that you have for us, Lord, we have been given eternal life, and off of that, Lord, we're firmly rooted. Lord, we're being built up in him. Lord, we're established in our faith, Lord, and I pray that because of that, because of the truth of your word and the instruction we've received, we can live with an overflowing, overwhelming, abundant gratitude in our lives. Lord, so this week and all the weeks after, Lord, it's not just one time a year, but Lord, I pray that we are truly people that are overflowing with gratitude because of you, our Lord. Lord, we pray all this in your name. Amen.